What Time Is It, Eccles? By Neil Maiden from City University London. The Goons was the original surreal English comedy show. Performed in the 1950s, it predated Monty Python by 15 years and laid the foundations and standards for what followed. One of the sketches always resonated with me, but I've never really understood why. Sure, the sketch is smart and funny, and it's beautifully circular and self-contained. A near-perfect storm of comedy. Recently, I listened to the sketch again. You have to remember that The Goons was a radio show. This time, I got it. It resonated with me because the sketch says so much about how we work, including how we do requirements work in software projects. You can find the full transcript of the sketch online. It's called A Piece of Paper. But in brief, it goes something like this. Bluebottle and Eccles are chatting in a room full of ticking clocks. Bluebottle, voiced by the great Peter Sellers, asks Eccles for the time. Bluebottle, in the form of the even greater Spike Milligan, replies that it's 8 o'clock. But how do you know? Asks Bluebottle. Eccles replies that he's got it written on a piece of paper. He got it from someone who wrote it down for him. Ah, asks Bluebottle, but what if the time isn't 8 o'clock? The paper only shows 8 o'clock. Then I don't show it to them, replies Eccles confidently. Why should he? It isn't 8 o'clock. Bluebottle then holds the piece of paper to his ear, discovers it isn't ticking, and reveals the piece of paper to be a fake. Bluebottle then suggests, well, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but do try and listen to the sketch yourself. It's real joy to behold. So apart from its intrinsic beauty, what is it that the sketch says to us today? For me, it's the observation that the world is full of people who, whatever the question, always give us the same answer. We perceive this in so many aspects of our lives. Our politicians trot out the same old platitudes, whatever the incisive interview question. Our football coaches always make the same excuses for yet another defeat. And our public transport systems always report the same reasons for being late. In short, in spite of however many ticking clocks we hear, we ignore them in favour of doing the same thing again and again. Rather like us requirements folks, who keep using the same old techniques in our projects to elicit, acquire, and discover our customer requirements. I was struck by this the other day. Running a requirements masterclass in a new part of the world, the participants told me the techniques they're currently using to acquire requirements. Yes, you've guessed it. Questionnaires, interviews, and observations. We've been doing requirements acquisition since the 1980s. And have developed dozens of different techniques, each shown to be effective in different situations. And yet, most analysts don't use them. Like Eccles, our time is always 8 o'clock, regardless of all the ticking clocks that we hear. Alas, not all of our clients are as forgiving as Bluebottle. Now, before you write in, I've not necessarily got a downer on observations, interviews, and questionnaires. They have a valuable role to play in requirements projects. Observations give valuable first-hand data about users and their problems. Unstructured interviews are flexible and can help acquire many different types of knowledge cost-effectively. Structured interviews ensure that analysts obtain requirements more systematically while remaining flexible and adaptable. And questionnaires can collect large amounts of data from stakeholders in a standardized way in a relatively short time. However, observations, interviews, and questionnaires also have well-documented weaknesses. Observing users can generate a lot of information but still not provide all the types of information that analysts need. Interviews rely on self-reporting. Analysts only acquire what the stakeholders tell them. And even if they want to, stakeholders can't communicate all of the knowledge that you might want to acquire. For example, stakeholders often treat knowledge as taken for granted when it involves everyday things, forgetting that it might be unknown to outsiders, such as requirements analysts. Instead, taken for granted knowledge is best acquired using methods that don't rely on communication. Likewise, people can't communicate compiled knowledge, knowledge that was once accessible to reporting, but which has been practiced so often that it's become habitualized and speeded up to the point where accurate introspection is no longer possible. Much computer-based work is like this. And questionnaires can be difficult to complete and inflexible to different stakeholders and situations. I could go on. So what's the remedy? We need to give requirements analysts a new toolbox with the right tools, and this time, the instructions about how to use them. Techniques to include in the toolbox can come from many sources. Our original ACRE framework looked to knowledge acquisition to offer techniques such as protocol analysis, card sorting, and laddering. But the boundaries between requirements analysis and other activities have become blurred over the years. Nowadays, requirements analysts should look to agile development techniques and user-centered design for techniques such as web analytics, wireframing, and user stories. We can also look to the creativity literature and take techniques such as constraint removal, storytelling, and other worlds. Do this, and our toolbox will soon be bulging. But what about instructions to use these techniques? ACRE was originally presented as tables in an academic paper. This made sense at the time, but would we do that again now? No. Given the widespread experiences we all have with the techniques out there, I think that self-help manuals might be the best way forward. Not in paper form, but using social media to enable analysts and stakeholders to share their experiences about different techniques, rate them, and make information about them available to all. So let's help each other. And soon, the clock is ticking.